Welcome to Faith Point, the podcast ministry of First Southern Baptist Church of Prescott Valley, with Senior Pastor Terrell Eldrith. Our goal is to allow our faith to intersect with real life. So let's join Pastor Terrell today as he shares with us from God's Word.
For our offering. Father, today we want to thank you for the goodness of your grace, for the mercy that you just pour out in our lives. And Father, we pray today. We pray, first of all, for our missionaries, our North American missionaries in particular. Pray for those who are serving in some very tough places, who are serving in what would seem to be very good places, but have tough tasks, who are sharing with people from Haiti, who are sharing with people from Ethiopia, 50,000 Ethiopians in Denver, Colorado alone. Father, we pray for missionaries who are taking on those kinds of jobs, who are chaplains in our military, who are chaplains in our hospitals, who are touching the lives of boys and girls, of women who've been abused and continue to be abused. Father, we pray that your goodness and your grace would go before them, that people would respond to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the sacrifices they make, for their willingness to go to places where they've never been before, going to places and to people who have never even heard the name of Jesus here in the United States. Father, we pray that you would give them fruit for what they're doing. We pray that you would receive our offering for them. We pray, Father, that you would not only receive it, but you would multiply it in ways that we will never know until one day we're in heaven and we see the results. Father, thank you for the opportunity to give our offerings, our tithes, to be able to say, this is my gift to you, Father, because you've blessed me, and this is where I want it to be. I want this to be used through this local church, that we might reach our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus himself, the risen one. Thank you that he is alive today, and that we get to celebrate his resurrection. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. And so today, I want you to know, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Before we get started with our cantata, we want you to join with us. So you have several solos. We're not going to make you sing solos. We are going to ask you, though, in this first song, and then in a couple of other songs, when you see the words come up on the screen, you're welcome to sing. But the first time, we want you to sing. When we're talking about, let all those worshipers arise, would you stand and would you join the choir as we continue to sing that song in this first song?
But now this is what the Lord says. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. See, now I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up to give drink to my people, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise.
Before the day, before the light, before the world revolved around the sun, God on high. Given and free. When you and I
invitation has been issued. The invitation to an amazing journey. It's a journey of the spirit and of the soul. A journey from despair to hope, from death to life, from weeping to worship. It's a journey that marches past a rugged cross and pauses in speechless wonder at an empty tomb. For centuries, the people of God offered their sacrifices in the place of worship. Their act of atonement, in the form of a lamb, presented to God's anointed priest. Yet never, not once, did the priest examine the faithful worshiper, only the offering. The worshiper was made right, accepted, forgiven through the purity of the lamb. Yes, the invitation has been issued for all of us to embark on an amazing journey, and it all begins with the Lamb.
Behold the Lamb of God.
The cross of Christ is central to our journey and to our understanding of the Messiah's mission and identity. We can't ignore the cross. We can't forget it, erase it, or dispose of it. We have to deal with it. And its dimensions are astounding. Its breadth extends to everyone. Its length reaches to eternity, and its height to the throne of God, and its depth to our lowest point. And disciples of the cross-bearing, forsaken Jesus, those followers who willfully put to death their own self-will, they find their identity, their mission in Him. The story of our redemption is an ancient one, and our journey to restoration follows the steps of millions gone before us. The essence of our salvation epic was first pictured in the exodus of Israel from the chains and bondage of their slavery. The dramatic shedding of the blood of an innocent lamb was for them an escape from death, drawing them together as God's people, now stepping into life. Once you were not a people, But now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. For you know that it was not with perishable things, as silver or gold, that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ. And now, as a people passed over by the angel of death, we are called to share the hymn of salvation, the song of the Lamb.
so?
The perfect lamb became the perfect sacrifice.
He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth.
The Son of God, once a servant, now a sacrifice.
He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before her shearers is silent, he shall not open his mouth.
On him were the sins of the world, the iniquity of us all.
For he bore the sin of men and made intercession for the transgressors.
Jesus, the Lion of Judah and the Lamb of God, majestic in glory, yet humble in meekness.
For Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed.
Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world.
Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Jesus himself had reminded his followers of his identity, his mission, even his death. Destroy this temple, he said, and I will raise it again in 3 days. But in the despair and hopelessness of Golgotha, no one expected the miraculous turn of events that transpired in a garden tomb. Jesus was alive! Given way to certainty. Desperation was replaced by assurance. The proclamation of death now silenced once and for all by the glorious announcement, Jesus was alive.
Bye.
certain as the one who offers it. And on the night that preceded his death, burial, and resurrection, those three monumental days that changed the course of history, Jesus, the Lamb of God, established a new covenant with his disciples and with us. An ancient observance was suddenly transformed into a present reality. A ritual of remembrance now became a liturgy of expectation. The words of the Master, "We will eat and drink this cup together again. I will not forget you. I promise I will return for you."
Sing a song of celebration, lift up a shout of praise, for the bridegroom will come, a glorious one.
Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory forever and ever. To him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Every tongue, every tribe, every nation speaking praise, the language of heaven, the song of the Lamb.
It happens to everyone else, but it won't happen to you. That's what everyone thinks. That's what everyone thinks about death. It's going to happen to somebody else, but I don't want to think about it happening to me. And yet we know that it will. When we hear that news, the grief overwhelms us many times. Somebody we love, somebody we were close to, has passed away. They've died. We try not to think about it too long, and then we try to move on. But everybody thinks about death. You know who else thought about death? Jesus thought about death. One day, he stood at the side of a grave for a very dear friend. He stood there with his sisters and his disciples around him. And John 11:35 says, Jesus wept. He cried. He had emotion. It was startling that he would do that. Perhaps Jesus cried, perhaps he wept, because he realized that in just a few days, he himself would be sealed in the same kind of tomb. And people would think about death. They would think about his death. Or maybe he was thinking about something else. Maybe it wasn't just his own death he was talking about. Perhaps it was something else. When Martha, Lazarus' sister and Jesus' friend, said in her grief, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus replied with perhaps the most startling statement he ever made. He said in John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Will live even after dying. Who says that type of thing? Who goes around proclaiming that? Jesus did. Jesus thought about death, but he thought about life after death as well. Jesus knew what was going to happen. And he knew that when you breathe your last breath in this life, that all of us will, when we take that final breath, we're going to enter into eternity. And what you believe here and now, today, will determine what you encounter in that moment. You see, the Bible tells us that each one of us, each one of you here, you are becoming today the person you will be forever. That's a hard reality for us to swallow. But that's exactly what Jesus says. You're becoming today the person you will be forever. So my question to you right now is, are you ready for that moment? Are you ready right now when you take that last breath? Are you ready right now with the person that you're going to be for eternity? Because that's the choice we all have. That's the reality that we all have to face. That's what life comes to. And the answer that you're going to have depends on what you do with Jesus today. It has to do with how you deal with that statement that he is the resurrection and the life. Because if you don't get that right, you're not going to be happy with the person that you're going to be for eternity. But if you get it right, you're going to experience joy unimaginable. So what do you think really happened when he died? What took place on the cross became literally the most important event in Jesus' life and in all of history. When Jesus died, history changed. When Jesus died, everything reset. The Bible says that Jesus, who had no sin of his own, died to pay the debt that you owe to God. See, the Bible tells us that our sins separate us from God who loves us. It's just what it does. And we want to think that we're not sinners, but the Bible says just the opposite. The Bible says that we are sinners, and that sin is anything that falls short of God's intended life for us. Sin is anything that we do that is against or contrary to God's plan for our lives. Sin, for all of us, comes down to one statement: I'm going to do it my way. I'm a reasonable person. I'm a smart person. I'm a rich person. I'm a nice person. I'm an okay person. I'm a person. But I want to do life my way. And the Bible says that's sin. When you do anything your way, it is contrary to God's plan for your life. When you choose any of your plans, it is always going to be contrary to God's plan for you. When you say, God, I don't want you involved in this decision. I don't want you involved in what I'm about to do. I don't need you to be involved with what I'm about to do. And sin becomes any action that we do, any thought that we have, any good thing we don't do. And it separates us from God. It separates us from his love. And those things that we do or don't do are not mere imperfections in our lives. They are not poor choices. They are, in fact, what keeps us from God today and what will keep us from God for eternity. Sin is not easy and it's not fun to talk about. It's hard to hear that we're sinners, but that's the reality that we all are. In fact, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53:6, for all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path and follow our own. We try to do it our way. And God says, that's sin. Every one of us does that. Every one of us is guilty of that. But gratefully, Jesus came and made a way for us to live through his death. In the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6, the evening before Jesus was going to the cross, he would be arrested in just a few short hours from the moment he says this to his disciples. But he says to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus became the way. He says boldly that he is not just one way, but he is the only way to God. It is the only way to be rescued from sin's consequence. The Apostle Paul talks about this thing called sin and the work of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection and what it accomplishes in his life. And he talks about it as confounding. It's kind of the confounding love of Jesus. Because when we look at it, we say, this shouldn't be happening this way. When we look at the love of Jesus for us, it makes no sense. We would never write the story this way. This is not the way that anybody would think this is going to work out. Because the love of Jesus Christ goes beyond our normal ability to understand. It is not normal. It is not usual. It is completely different. In Romans 5:8, Paul said, but God showed his love for us in this by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. That's not how it should happen. We should apologize. We should make ourselves better. We should do something that would prompt Jesus to come and say, good job. You did good. Now you can be a Christian. Now you can go to heaven. But it would never have worked because we are insistent on doing it our way. And we're all sinners. And it confounds us. It confounds so many people that it could happen that way. But I want you to know, right now, at this very moment in heaven, the body of Jesus still bears the scars of the cross. It still has the gouges through his flesh, in his hands, and his feet. Still bears the marks of that crown of thorns. Still bears the scar in his chest where the spear punctured his heart to prove he was dead. It confounds us that his love would take that path. But it's the only one that would work. It was the only one that was going to be available to us. And so dying on the cross for humanity is the ultimate oxymoron. It is a blessed catastrophe, if you will. That the God who created everything, the God who put everything that we can think of in place, including us, would then die that kind of a death, or any kind of a death for us. I want you to picture him right now. I want you to picture him exposing that scars. As he holds them out, he would say, this is the price I paid for your life. As he points to his feet, he would say, this is what it cost me that you could live with me for eternity. He would point to his heart. And he'd say, this is where my heart that was full of love for you was pierced open wide. I want you to let that remind you that the death of Jesus was the most horrible of incidents that we can possibly think of. And yet, at the same time, it was the most beautiful of events that ever happened. It was this miraculously beautiful event. And let this remind you with those wounds of that beautiful exchange that took place at the cross. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Apostle Paul said, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for your sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." We could not get there. We could not make the right choices in life because of sin. We just became slaves to it. Jesus Christ came and through the awfulness of his death did the most beautiful of things. He exchanged our sin that kept us from eternity in heaven and placed them on his perfect body that had never sinned one time. And he became sin for us. He took our place. He took your place. You were as dead can be. And you may be here today and you look alive, but if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you're as dead can be right now. That's just who you are. That's who we all are without Jesus Christ. But Jesus paid the price for our sin with his blood. So maybe the most important question that we can ask if we don't know Jesus as our Savior and Lord today is this: how do we know that God accepted Jesus' payment? How do we know he accepted that payment for our sin? A payment we couldn't make. How do we know? And there's one answer to that. And that's what today has been. That's what every day is about. But today, especially on Resurrection Sunday, all the things we've talked about, all the things we've sung about, we know that God accepted the payment that Jesus made on the cross because Jesus didn't stay dead. He got back up. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He walked out of that grave alive. It would only happen if that payment was accepted. And when he rose again, we know that we have that payment for our sin. Because his resurrection just shouted out that the transaction was made. It was accepted. Was finished. Nothing else needed to be paid. Nothing else could be paid. Jesus paid the price in full that we owed. That fact changed history. And I want you to know that fact can change your life today. Even before you leave this room, if you've never had that happen, if you're at your home and you're listening and you've never had that happen to you, where you know that your sin is forgiven, that the transaction is made, and that you can have life that goes for eternity, you can have that assurance today. The Bible says that we were rescued by God's grace. It wasn't something we did. It was all what God did. In Ephesians 2:8 and 10 through 9, rather, it says God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is the gift of God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. We didn't do it. Jesus did it all. He's the one who paid that price. So imagine with me, as we come back to that final breath here, and we take that final breath, now taking that final breath in heaven, because we've trusted Jesus to be our Savior, You'll take that final breath here, your eyes will close, and the next moment you'll take your first breath in heaven and your eyes will be open, and you know whose face you will see first? It's not St. Peter. You will see the face of Jesus. And when you look at that face looking at you, I believe you're going to see tears pouring out of his eyes and running down his face. And I think he's going to have his arms spread open wide, just like he did on the cross. And you're going to see the scars in his hands and his feet, on his brow. And he's going to be running towards you. And he's got this huge smile on his face. Because they're not tears of sorrow. They're not tears of agony. They are tears of joy. And he's going to wrap you in a bear hug. And he's going to say, "Welcome home." That's the beauty of what Jesus did. That's what our reality can be. This is why he came. I want you to know today, if you are weary of searching the world for a love to heal your broken heart, I want you to know that you can look to him. You can look to Jesus today. Because when you choose to look to him, I want you to know that today there's real love here now for you. I want you to know that when you look to him, there is real hope here for you today. When you look to him, there is real life here for you today. And you know what's in your rearview mirror? What's behind you is death. Your reality is life. If you know me, even though you're dead, you live. That's what God wants to give to you right now. Maybe you would like to have a conversation with about God about that decision. I don't know many of you. I don't know who's online with us today. But I have to believe that there's someone, that there's some people who are hearing this in this room or on their screens who are saying, "I really need to talk to God. This is what I want to do." In your ministry guide, there's a sheet of paper, a half sheet, that says that very thing. If you'd like to talk to God about it, here's something to prompt your conversation. I want everybody to take that out. I want you to look at it with me, if you would, please. Because I'm going to ask you to read this out loud with me. It's a very simple prayer. For those of you who know Jesus as your Savior, it will just be a recommitment of that decision you've made. For those of you who've never trusted Jesus, this can be that moment when Jesus becomes real, when that life becomes real that he wants you to have. If you would, I'd like you to read this out loud. If you're not comfortable with doing that, I would just like you to say this in your heart. And if you are saying, "Jesus, I really want that life. I want to take that first breath in heaven and see you running toward me and grabbing me in a bear hug, welcoming me home," then make this your prayer today. Read with me. "Dear God, here I am. I have nothing to offer you to pay for how I've lived. Please forgive my sins. I know I don't deserve it, but I hear that you're willing to give me everything because your son, Jesus, paid the price for my life. That's so awesome. That's so beyond what I can completely understand. How Jesus took the hell that I deserve and put my confidence in that and believe it's true. And I believe the beautiful truth that this guarantees me a life with you when I die. You give me a life where I will never die again. This is a gift from you, and all I have to do is receive it. Right now, I believe that Jesus paid for my sin on the cross and that you raised him again to life. I turn from my sins and ask you to forgive me or to give me new life now. And when I die, I ask this because I believe what Jesus promised. Amen. If you just said that prayer, and it's your prayer from your heart, asking Jesus to be your Savior, I want to welcome you to the family of God. We want to help you in the next steps that you need to take. So I hope that you will let us know, even on that connecting card, yes, I accepted Jesus as my Savior today. If you still have questions, tell us that you have those questions. We'll be glad to talk to you. Join me in prayer once again. Father, thank you for your goodness and grace that is not deserved by anything that we would do. Otherwise, it wouldn't be grace at all. It is grace because it does for us what we cannot do. It gives us eternal life. So right now, Jesus, we pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing together a hymn of commitment and invitation. If you want to talk to somebody right now, we'd be glad to talk with you. If you want to tell us right now, I just asked Jesus to be my Savior, we want to talk to you. If you want a church home and you want to talk to us, you come as we sing.
Thank you for joining us today for Faith Point. Reach us online at firstsouthernpv.org or stop by to worship with us if you are in the Prescott Valley area. May God richly bless you today as you allow your faith to intersect with your life.